A sermon on Luke 10, 25 through 37, the Good Samaritan. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May Jesus, our forever friend and brother, walk with us always, especially when the road is rough along the way to Jericho. My guess is that you've heard this Lucan parable a few times. Am I right in assuming that? It's probably the one parable in all of Scripture that most people walking the planet have heard about, or at least would find familiar if they encountered it, right? It's the classic, be kind, be nice, the golden rule, do unto others, yada, yada, yada. And in simplifying this parable of Jesus down into just that, we are missing a key point. We are missing the lesson that Jesus was teaching. And as a result, we are not living out the gospel message fully in our own lives. You see, the message here is simple, but it is not simplistic. Let me say that again. The message is simple, but it is not simplistic. So for today, my hope is to do 2 things. The first is to ground you a bit more deeply in the parable beyond the words and Sunday school lessons. And second is that I'm going to flip the script on you. I'm going to challenge you a bit to see this all through a different lens. We're going to be brave when that happens. That means I'm going to ask you to open your heart to hearing a new storyline, to not automatically resist the message that might not be as comfortable as a new pair of jeans. So first, let's ground ourselves a bit in the text itself. A little text study right here from the pulpit, if you will indulge me. A legal expert was challenging Jesus. It sounds like the normal state of affairs to me. And what was he asking? He was not asking how to be a better person. He was not asking how to better serve his community. He was not asking how to be more grounded in his faith. No, he was asking how it was that he could obtain eternal life. This also sounds like the normal state of affairs for some of us. Asking how it is we are to receive something, how we are to make it to heaven, and how maybe others might not be. And Jesus responds to him with a question, not an answer, like a boss. Jesus asks, what does the law state? The answer given is the commandment we've all heard time and time again. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the law expert isn't going to let this be the last word, so he challenges Jesus again, and this time in even a more passive-aggressive way. He says, and who is my neighbor? I added that snotty voice for dramatic increase, but, you know, I could imagine it being that way. This is where Jesus brings it, and we know it as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, I know you know this parable well, and we just read it, so I want to fill in some of the background details for you instead of just retelling it. The setting and the characters that Jesus chooses are not random. They are, in fact, part of the reason this parable would hit so hard in Jesus' time and in the time of the early church. And it can do the same for us if we learn to understand it in the context of the time that Jesus was telling it. Because this road, if one could even call it a road, from Jerusalem to Jericho was not an easy one. It was over 15 miles long and gained 3,400 feet in elevation. And the way was rough. This was not a nice, flat Roman road, but really it was a rocky stock trail at the best. And it was dangerous, and it would take you more than 8 hours to walk it. This was the road that all of our characters were traveling on. Now, the first being the man who was beaten, robbed, and left for dead, as we know. And the passersby included a priest, a holy man, someone well-versed in holy laws and holy living, and the Levite, another holy man, only this one was involved in the holy bureaucracy, that is, the religious and secular organization of the temple. We are talking about examples of holy people at the core of the Jewish faith. Both of these men were highly educated. Both would be highly respected. They held religious and cultural leadership positions, and they walked on by. Now, we can begin to excuse this away because we might know that they might have been purified for worship and didn't want to defile themselves. But they didn't stop because they didn't want to harm their ability to perform their worldly duties for others. They just didn't stop. In other words, walking on by was the better choice for them. And so they did it. Now, the third man we know stopped and helped in all the ways that the parable describes. And this man was a Samaritan. And for us today, this might not hit home as much as it would back then. So to help you, I want you to think about the most extreme enemy we have, be it a Russian leader or a fundamentalist extremist of any religion, a mass shooter, a leader of a drug cartel, your sworn enemy. This was that man. That man stopped. See, there was no love lost between the Israelites and the Samaritans. The animosity ran both ways. It was cultural, it was social, it was economic, it was historical, it was faith-based. The infidel stopped for the other infidel. Think about that for a moment. Jesus has served up for what first appears to be an easy to understand parable, and he turns it on its head. It's simple, yes, but it is not simplistic. This isn't the be nice, be kind message. This is much more. This is radical. This is a parable that flies in the face of the law as gospel. And this parable has a scandalous edge to it. The scandal is that we are being called to identify, humanize, and embrace the most unlikely candidates for our own neighborly relationships. We are being asked to see the other, the enemy, as the teacher of compassion and righteousness. Can we even have that? Is that even right? Let me help you with this a bit. This is the point in the sermon when I'm going to flip the script and challenge you to see it through a different lens, if you are willing, that is. I want you to think about a time when you first heard this story, or when you heard it here today as I was reading it. What person did you connect with? Which character in the parable did you find yourself saying, "Oh, that was me"? Was it the Samaritan? Was it the expert lawyer asking the questions? Was it the men walking on their way to somewhere else? Ask yourself this question right now. Be curious about it. I'm not going to ask you to share. I don't want you to be embarrassed. But once you have the character that you connect with in your mind, hold it there for a second. I'm going to now challenge you, because I probably think it wasn't often the case that you connected with the man in the ditch dying. If you did see that as yourself, okay. But if you did not, I want you to ask yourself to be that man. Take a moment to do that. Connect with the dying, beat up, robbed, left for dead man in the ditch. Maybe he can't see. Maybe he can't hear. Maybe he's in pain and shock. Maybe he isn't even aware of the other people on the road. In any case, connect with him. See him as you in the dusty, hot ditch on the road to Jericho. Do you have him? Great. Now I want to ask yourself in this new persona, is there anyone from any group that you would say, I would rather die than to acknowledge? Is there anyone I would rather die than to acknowledge and be saved? So-and-so offered help. They show compassion. Are there any for you? Jesus is asking us this. Jesus is challenging us in asking us this question of ourselves. Then again, ask yourself in the here and now, is there any group who would see us die rather than help? Who we would point to and say, yeah, them, they would walk on by. They would let us die. Because the answer to that last question points to our modern day Samaritans. And it was one of them who stopped along the way to show compassion and mercy in this parable. It was the Nazi, the Russian Tsar, the leader of ISIS, the death row inmate, the undocumented immigrant, the fundamentalist, the drug lord, the awful neighbor, the ex-spouse, the Republican, the Democrat. The list is endless. You see, Judas was at that table too. And to love him is more a measure of being a Christian than to love Christ. Suddenly, this parable isn't that easy anymore. Suddenly, Jesus isn't patting us on the head and saying, if we are nice, everything will be fine. No, Jesus is asking for more, much more. The parable of the so-called Good Samaritan is a story for travelers on the road. And it routes us like a good Google map. The only direction that God desires, the way of love and compassion for others, not the cheap, easy versions of love and compassion, mind you. No, those actions are thinly veiled and often described as tolerance or indifference, and sometimes quiet, sharp-tongued judgment or ego-driven self-promotion and justification. No, Jesus is asking more than just being a helpful stranger. He's asking for us to step into the transforming power of God at work in those who travel the dangerous roads in our world, moving us into the fullness of life, eternal life, in the here and now. You don't get to walk on by without a consequence. You don't get to say something or not say something without impact. You don't get to classify and categorize others as other without consequence. The great relationship cycle, which is the Trinity, shows us that to love God is to love neighbor, is to love God. It always flows that way. We just often try too hard to walk on by, to close ourselves off from it, to say, that isn't what God desires. It seems funny to even say that, isn't it? To judge what God desires, to tell God what God desires. No, God tells us, and it's clear here today, that loving neighbor is it. Now, our community here is going to be tested in the near future with stepping into the message that is hanging out there on the portico ceiling, the "All are welcome" banner. It is my prayer that we will heed the lesson here from Jesus and not put an asterisk on that statement, and instead live deeply, fully, and openly into the words themselves. For the legal expert had only one response after hearing Jesus' teaching here in Luke: "The one who showed compassion and mercy, Lord. The one who showed compassion and mercy. The one who loved, not the one who tolerated and walked on by." Thanks be to God for the words of our brother Jesus Christ, and may they ever be in our hearts and on our tongues and in our actions. Amen.